Hey, welcome to Move Makers. I am Angie Bauer, your host, and I am so excited you are here. You won't want to miss out as we talk about the transformation you can make in your small business and daily walk in life. I will be talking with some of my best friends and amazing business owners. So sit back, relax, and listen in as we talk real life.
I am so excited that you are here for the next episode of Move Makers podcast. And I am here with a special guest, and you are going to love her as much as I do for two reasons: her spirit, and then she has this so cute, so sweet little accent. So you're going to enjoy it. Her name is Marnie, and she just is a girl on fire for giving purpose and identity in Christ, is what she says, and your worth. And I love her spirit. I have been so blessed to meet her a couple times in person and hug her neck. And so I'm excited for you just to hear her words and us talk, real girl talk, about running a small business and everything that that includes. So join me talking today with Marnie. Hey, Marnie, how are you?
Well, and how are you? It's so funny you brought up my accent, Lord. Like, I know that I'm have a little Southern in there, but like, everybody's like, oh, we just love to hear you talk. And I'm like, they probably think I'm so country or corn pone, but I try not to be.
I love hearing you talk. Like, it is like, it just makes my little heart just pitter patter in happiness when I hear your voice.
Well, I guess it's a country girl thing. I don't know.
It's okay. It's precious.
Okay, good, good, good.
So why don't you tell everyone your business name, where you're located, and how many years have you been doing this?
Okay, well, we started about 3 years ago with a company called The Frosted Farmhouse, where I did, I painted kind of upscale, not Joanna Gaines kind of things, but upscale modern farmhousey paintings. We did some rebuilds on industrial furniture and that kind of thing, which went great. We did that for about a year. It was going well. I was running my tail ragged, you know, like the dog that like chases its tail. And it was going great. But in the process of that, I would share my faith. It would just be like, oh my gosh, my pastor was talking about this yesterday, and this is how God applied it. And so about a year in, the Lord just did a quick turn and said, you're not going to do that anymore. You're going to share your faith. Like, oh, okay. Because Angie, I totally would not have done that. Like, I've never even taught a Bible study. I had before two and a half years ago, I'd never done any of that. And so we've begun to do that. And it's crazy to see the process God has brought up. On Facebook, I'm still Marnie Ozenball with The Frosted Farmhouse. But every other social media, I'm just Marnie Ozenball. So, yeah, that's where we are these days.
So I'm just going to let everyone know we are having some connection. So I didn't know that I didn't know that you've never done a Bible study or anything, because girl, like, I can listen to you talk for hours. You're doing 100 Days to Brave right now.
Yeah.
Oh, like, it just melts my heart, the words and the wisdom.
Yeah, well, you know, I have, I've done Beth Moore Bible studies at my church, and Priscilla Shire, and Kay Arthur. Like, you know, I've been the one sitting while somebody else is teaching, but never taught Sunday school. Like, I've always been the girl that worked with the youth program, that sat one-on-one with young women to talk about biblical counsel. It's never been in the teacher seat with the microphone. Like, I'm a worship leader. We're a little over a year and a half of teaching online Bible study, but no, Lord, no, I'd never done that before. I think that's why God chose me. Like, okay, if she trusts me with this, everybody's going to know this me, because they know it's not me. It's got to be God. Like, there is no stinking way.
That is so marvelous. Let's back to The Frosted Farmhouse and talk about that for 1 second. Why did you start?
I started, my husband owns a business, and so I am 49, like really closely running and sprinting toward 50, so I'm very, very close. But, you know, when you get about our age, you're thinking about retirement and you're thinking, okay, do I have enough hooks in the water to have enough income? And so we just started thinking about that. But, oh, this is something, because we've done a few builds. We'll take furniture, we'll repurpose it, we'll kind of an industrial kind of flair to it. And actually, Shane is fixing to build a farmhouse table and a bench and a large hutch. So we'd always done that, and people would say, you could make a totally make a business out of that. So we thought, okay, that's the other hook, the financial hook. So we started. It was going great. But I think that was the catalyst to get me comfortable sharing my faith online.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what it was. Yeah, because had I known that I was going to be picking up the Word of God and explaining it to people that I don't know, I wouldn't know. There would have been no, absolutely no stinking way whatsoever.
You know, I say that a lot about, you know, like the walk that I've been on too, because had I not started the Sugar Bowl and done all that and started, I mean, a podcast, never. Like a Facebook Live, like no way.
Yeah. I think God, you know, of course you would never say that the Lord is sneaky, but I think he's sneaky. Like he knows, okay, she can't swallow what I have for her and she can't even envision it and she doesn't have the faith to do it yet. So I'll get her in a place where she's just comfortable. I'm comfortable with home decor. Comfortable mm-hmm. with that. Love it. Don't have a problem in the world. But then he has honed skills that I needed to share. Yeah. You know, that I didn't know I had. So I think the Lord's sneaky sometimes. I think it's okay to say he's sneaky.
Oh yeah. I think that, yeah, totally. I'm like, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, she needs to learn this lesson, and so this is the way I'm going to teach her. She's going to understand it a couple of years from now, but right now she's going to feel like it's too much.
Yes, totally. What would you say is the best thing about running your own business?
Best thing about running my own business? I don't know, maybe the accountability of it. I love that I am in control of what I purchase, when I purchase, doing it God's way too. You know, there's a lot to that. You think, you know, when you work a corporate job or you work for, as they say, the man, mm-hmm. I think, oh, I would love to just stay home and just do my own business. And what you don't understand is you're the CEO and you're the janitor and you're the supplier and you're the postmaster and, you know, all those things that are not glamorous. You know, I mean, we've just started a new curvy girl online boutique, just for a financial thing. I enjoy it, but it's not where my heart is. My heart is to share the gospel. But it will financially support my family. And so right now juggling both of those plates is tough, because I've been the postmaster this morning and I've been the supplier and I've been the photographer. But I can do it on my own pace, probably is one of the main things that I like about running my own business, you know?
Yeah. And your new clothing part, let's touch on that for a second, because I love it. I've been a purchaser from you, but you get to work with your daughter. I love seeing that. Like, that's fun, and seeing her get in front of the camera and each week get a little more comfortable and fun with it. So,
absolutely.
That has to be so fun for you too.
Yeah. And we'll see. Shane and I are still at the point where we're going to see if this is something that's viable. You know, I've always been the kind of person that I'll dip my toe in something once just to see. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has just, he's just kind of told me, Marnie, keep it second. Keep it second.
Okay.
And so, if I can do that, it's just a lot right now because we're brand new. We're about 2 months in. And so, you know, you have all this inventory and you have to get it out there and you have to do Pinterest, you have to do Facebook and you have to do photos. And it's a lot. It's a lot to do it well, on social media.
Yes. That's a good lead to our next question. And it's kind of talking about what is your biggest struggles or what have been your biggest struggles and how have you overcome them? Because like you said, we kind of wear all the hats and do all the social media and everything. So let's talk about struggles for a second.
My biggest struggle is time management. I'm not OCD, but I want to do it well, and I want to do it well the first time. And, you know, as a mom, I don't know, you know, your listeners, they be moms, grandmoms, CEOs, they run ministries at their church, they have a full-time job, they have 2.5 kids, and they have 5 dogs. And, you know, it's hard doing all that. And it's time management of, for instance, I have a Bible study on Tuesday nights. And so most of my family knows we don't schedule anything on Tuesday nights, but a family birthday party came up. And being wise, and she was choosing wisely. And so Tuesday night, I won't do the Bible study this week because I'm going to go be with my family. And so time management from a Christian's perspective means that I may not make that money today because I'm going to go be with my family. And that honors God over the financial part.
Yeah.
And yeah, time management for me, for sure.
That's a really good wisdom. And it kind of talks about that work. Family balance too, that although, you know, you had work, you chose that the family was where you needed to be. So,
and you can listen to your family. When we were doing, when I was doing the painting and I was building, we were building the physical furniture. I can remember my youngest coming to me and I would just ask, have you watched the Facebook live on when Dad and I were building that table? And she was a little snarky with me. No, because I never see you anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it was good accountability to listen to your family when things have overtaken and it's not a good balance. Look, if my family is falling apart, I went to a conference several months ago. If your family is falling apart, but you're making millions, girls, you have failed.
Yeah.
If everybody on Facebook thinks you're wonderful and your podcast is great, but your family is struggling and you haven't had a date with your husband in 2 months, girl, put the microphone down and go home and go on a date with your husband and love your family. Yeah. Go do your laundry and fix a good home cooked meal and sit your hind end on the couch and enjoy your family.
Yeah.
I think we're, you know, you get caught up in, oh, but I have 10,000 followers. They need me. No, your accountability is at home, you know? And so
that's a hard thing, because it was one thing that I really had to listen to my youngest. She really called me out. And I was like, Maddie, you're always on the iPad. You're always doing TikToks or something like that. And she's like, well, you're always on your phone, so why does it matter? And it was like, okay, I hear ya.
I think for women, we get our self-worth by who likes us, who loves us, who comments on our thing. I think it's a byproduct of having community, which I think is healthy.
Right.
I think we're supposed to be the body of Christ. But when we get our identity, we get our self-worth, and we get our purpose from what happens on this screen, yes, God can use it. But we have got to be, good stewards of our time. And for me and my influence, and for me, that starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't start with the Angie Bowers of the world. It starts with the Shane Ozenballs in my house.
Right.
You know, and so.
There you go. That was like a mic drop right there.
It's tough because I want to have worth. Mm-hmm. And, not everybody's going to see tonight when they come home that I've got all of my laundry done and I made my family a good meal and I had a date with my husband. Most of the people are not going to see that. And I don't get accolades for that. But I do when it comes to kingdom-minded living.
Yeah.
You know? That's not popular, but it's so true.
It's so true. And your family, I mean, that's who brought me back too. Like, I just turn my phone off and I don't answer. And there was a time where they're it. So
yeah, it has to be.
Yes. So much. Let's talk about a word really quick that kind of has a bad rap. It's an F word.
You're scaring me. Okay.
Don't be scared. It's an F word, and it's not a bad F word, and I think it has a bad rap, but it's failure.
Mm.
Let's talk a second about failure, because I see failure as a good thing. I see it as congratulations, that means you tried. And we took a piece away from it. So let's talk about failure for a second. Is there a time where, I guess I just really want our listeners to know that it's okay to fail. It's okay to say, man, that didn't work, or that's really not where I should go, and let's turn it around, or let's change it a little bit. So is there a time that you can share, that you feel comfortable sharing, and if not, that's okay, that it was just a failure, and yet God moved you in a different direction and taught you something from that, and you picked it up, and you kept moving?
Well, I mean, you know, and I'm going to go back to, you know, of course, we still do the clothing under the Frosted Farmhouse. But when we were doing the online, the paintings and the furniture, and one night the Lord was like, you're done with that. We're moving. You're going to do this. That was a hard pill to swallow for me, and to step into something, the teaching online, like, are you kidding me? There was a really, really good chance I was going to fail at teaching because I had no skill at that. And I have to say, I don't like failure. But I think that goes back to, how I'm seen in someone else's eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm going to be a people pleaser, then I'm out of the God pleasing game. And it's not a game, but I'm just saying,
right.
If I'm going to live a life of faith, then I'm going to have to risk failure.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to say, okay, Marnie, this is step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And at 5, this is where you're going to be. No, he's just going to say, step into a place that I'm not comfortable. I'm not skilled. And he's just going to say, okay, I want you to trust me. Will you do this? And so I think Christians that don't risk failure, you're not engaging in your faith. And I've lived most of my life that way. I mean, I think sometimes you see girls online and they look like they've got it all together and they have all the right words. No, they've tanked a whole bunch of times, and they've just learned that if they're going to please God, whether it be in their home, their business, social, the online space, wherever it is, if you're not willing to risk failure, then I don't know if you're at the spot where you're going to be used.
Right.
You know, yeah. You're going to be stuck. If you can't risk failure, you are stuck. I hope you enjoy where you are, because just, you know, put you some cement on your feet because you're there.
Love that. Love that. And I think I often failure is just a word that I said, even as little kids in school, you know, if you see an F on a test, or you see like you failed something, or you're disappointed, it just has such a bad connotation. And I think it just keeps you, like you said, stuck. If you're just, I'm just going to fail. And sometimes you have to fail. Sometimes falling on your face, I mean, that's what it feels like at the time, can teach you the greatest things and make you move in ways you never thought you'd possible.
Right. But did you learn that in your home? Because I will say most women don't. They're like, oh, I'm willing to fail today. You know, most women don't. So where did you learn that?
That it's okay to fail?
Yeah.
I have a husband whose philosophy is, if you believe in it 49%, let's try it. Like, if you think it's going to work 49%, then it's worth a try. Mm-hmm. Not 50%, not 51%, 49%. And so he has been one of the biggest mindset people on failure, because you have to be willing to try. And if you think it's going to work, 49%, that's pretty good odds. Let's try it. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You fail? Okay. We'll try something different. We'll pick it up. So I have to say that probably came from my husband.
Wow. That's pretty cool, because most people, And again, I think it goes back to our jobs. It goes back to new seasons in our life, our faith. Like if you're, I think all of us, we try to put, and I'm going to mince my words here, but we try to put our best foot forward, and we never want to be seen as less than. And I think, you know, just not here, but also in our faith, it just, it, I don't even know how to explain what I'm trying to say. I think we're stuck because of that.
I think it's the thing that holds us back the most, is the thought of someone seeing you not in the, I always say, Instagram perfect picture.
Yeah. It's almost like you feel like you're going to step out on the water and you're going to sink.
Yeah.
Hey, at least he had the guts to step out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that it's from, I mean, if you look at like my family, my brothers are all entrepreneurs. Like, it's just something that, you know what? If we fail, we fail. We can pick ourselves back up and keep moving forward. But I do appreciate my husband for that, because
that's an unusual quality. I can say that most of us try to hide our failures. And I think that, that's good. I think most of us try to hide our failures in that process. It keeps us hidden.
Yeah.
And we're to be a lot of this world.
Yeah. So. And that's why I love talking about failure, because it's real talk.
Ooh.
And it teaches people that, you know, you fail, I fail, and yet we're still here. And God can still use us, and we still are worthy.
It's so funny that you say that. Hang on, because I'm fixing to get my book out. Annie F. Downs. We just did, of course, we've been doing The 100 Days to Brave, and we're midway right now. And one of the things she said, it was going back to Matthew 5, you're a light of the world, you know, you set it on the, you got to send it on a lampstand for all the world to see. And she says, and God was, when she first started blogging, it was bad, you know, she wasn't really good at it. She said, and God is glorified even in my mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's, I underlined it because it was just from today. And God is glorified even in my mistakes. And I think sometimes I don't know that I'd thought about that, Angie. That God is glorified even in my mistakes. You know, he's going to teach me lessons even in my failure.
Yeah.
You know, if we knew that the failure was going to teach us life lessons and spiritual lessons that would alter the rest of our life, we might not be afraid to fail. But failures always do that.
They do.
They do.
They're always the thing that projects us forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. So good.
Yeah.
Evidently, I need to hear this a couple of times today.
Isn't that always so funny? You're like, okay, God. Like, I guess that just really was my message for today.
Yeah. You're going to be glorified even in when I tank, when I look like an idiot, when I have to start and restart. And yeah, that you're even in that.
Yep.
Even in that, you're going to be glorified.
Yes. So switching off of failure and all of that, what advice would you give someone who is looking to start their own business?
Pray about it profusely before you start. You know, the road back sometimes it's long, you know, and you, again, failure is a part of it. But just trusting that process, praying about it first. Don't be so quick to just jump, because you think, okay, somebody else is doing that. I could totally do that and make a buck. No, make sure that's what you're supposed to be doing in prayer. Make sure that your family's on board. Talk with your family. I don't know. I'm gonna always go back to that. I think that's why the God has me where I am. Count the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Count the cost. Financially, spiritually, emotionally, you know, you may want to be an entrepreneur because you want to be a stay-at-home mom, but you're going to pull about 90 hours when your job would be about 40. You're going to miss some suppers with your family because you've got to get product out.
Mm-hmm.
If God has you there, if you know that's the lane that God has you in, do it, but count the cost. Count the cost. It's a biblical perspective, so.
Love that, because that's something that oftentimes as entrepreneurs and as dreamers and as makers, you know, we often give the advice, just start. And I know with my two brick and mortars, I was sitting at the beautician. I was probably about 4 months after I sold my brick and mortars, and she was doing my hair, and she said, Angie, your hair is actually happy again.
Mm.
like the cost sometimes you don't even realize is happening during the moment of what's happening. And I, and my hair even was reacting to the cost and the price that my body was paying.
Yeah. And I think we, as women, we push through, we are super women, we're sold that bill of goods.
Yep.
But at some point something will start to crumble. And you just have to decide, you just have to know, it has to be boundaries. I think women don't have boundaries very well. I've heard Christian women tell me boundaries aren't wise. You have to be open. You have to have boundaries because something will take you out. Yeah. And you have to know, okay, this is the area that I want to succeed in, and it will always be first. Because if you don't, like you said, your hair going to fall out, or your hair, just your body will react.
Right.
So yeah. Okay.
But we're not saying don't go for it. If you feel like you should do your own business and you have that heart, like, it is the best thing.
Absolutely. But count the cost. If God's still calling you to it, and you know, oh my gosh, this is going to take 80 hours a week, but God is just saying, girl, this is your lane. I have you. This is the lane I have you for. Have you to go for it.
Yeah. But,
well, and you know, count the cost, but live a life of faith, you know,
right,
in the process. Right.
So we're going to ask some fun questions. If I can ask you some fun questions.
All right.
All right. Are you a podcast listener or a book reader?
Probably a book reader more.
Okay.
Keep on telling me that they want me to start a podcast, and like, here I've talked on several, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I could do that. But I probably need to be more of a podcast listener, but probably more of a book reader.
Okay. So what's a favorite book, or what are you reading right now?
Of course, 100 Days to Brave.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Dare to Lead in front of me by Brene Brown. You know, okay. She's a little, sometimes her verbiage is a little raw. Mm-hmm. But I'm a person that, I will push back the stuff that I disagree with. If there are a couple of things that God could prick in my heart with about a book, I will read it. Some people will just put it down, but I'll just push past it and say, nope, disagree with that. Or
yes,
you just got to.
Yeah, totally. She's one of my husband's favorites.
Yeah.
Favorite food to eat.
Favorite food to eat. Comfort, like country cooking. Look, you know, you with my accent, you know I'm a country girl. Just a home-cooked meal. Other than that, probably steak. Like, I love steak. A really, really good steak, like slathered with onions and all that goodness.
Yes. So we can be friends.
Absolutely.
Yes. Favorite color.
Favorite color. Probably pink, just because my husband thinks it's pretty on me. So yeah, I'm gonna go with pink on that one.
Aw, that's sweet.
I wear pink. He's like, oh, you're pretty today. I don't know, because I'm white, like I have Irish background, and so I'm like whiter than a sheet, and the pink makes me have a pretty glow. I don't know.
That's funny. Favorite TV show, movie, Netflix series? It can be one of present, past, whatever. Just one of your favorites.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we are Netflix people. Like, ain't nobody got time to be paying a ton of money for TV. Netflix is super cheap, and so we get on binges. But we've been watching Pickin' Sisters. Have you heard of that?
I haven't heard of this.
Because we like that kind of repurposing kind of deal, to where it doesn't look like we repurposed it. It looks like it came out of a fancy store.
Uh-huh.
It's called Pickin' Sisters. And so they buy literally junk, and then they revamp it. They put fancy smancy on it, and they take it to an LA studio, and they sell it for thousands of dollars.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Love those kind of things.
Check those out, because I love that kind of stuff. So, yeah. All right, as we wrap it up, everyone always tells me this is the hardest question ever. So if you need to take a breath or whatever, you're good. So, okay. last advice for our listeners to take away, like something that can be business, it can be life, it can be life and business, something that's tweetable, even though I don't tweet, something that's just lasting that you want our listeners to take away.
Live a purposeful life on purpose. I think all of us, at the deep core of who we are, we want to have purpose for life. We want to know that our at the end of our life it had a purpose. And I think we don't get up every day with the mindset I'm going to live on purpose to have a purposeful life. And that means every choice you make every day is sifted through that thought. You don't make an impact in this world by osmosis. You just float it through. It does not happen. I would have liked to have stayed in the bed this morning, but no, I got online and I did social media and I shared the word of God. And I'm purposefully going to run my business today. I'm going to do the hard stuff because I want to live a life of purpose on purpose. I purposely engage. I purposely say a word. I purposely love on my husband. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think life very easily just kind of floats by the wayside, and you have to purposefully, ladies, live a life of purpose. So that would probably be my word. I've been saying that for a long time. Somebody quoted something similar to that maybe about a year ago, but the Lord told me that several years ago. Marnie, you're going to have to get up, put your big girl panties on, and purposefully live this life. You don't live a life of faith just by going to church on Sunday morning and having a couple of prayers when life gets tough. No, you purposely walk as a Christian woman in his ways, purposefully, intently, focused, razor sharp. And so I wish that I had been challenged like that as a young woman, but I wasn't. And so I'm going to give it in bucketfuls now.
I really like that.
Yeah,
I always say sometimes those last words are for me. And so thank you. I think that was what I needed to hear today.
Well, I'm glad. It's so funny, women, you can be in the online space. You can be, you can go to a church with 1,000 people, but yet we still struggle with internally being lonely. And just realizing you are a light in this world, realizing that God is purposefully using you for the kingdom. Remembering that makes all the difference in this world and how you live your life on purpose.
Yeah, love that. So. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I, of course, love talking with you and getting your wisdom and just having fun talking. And I want to quote back something that you said that I want our listeners, actually two things. And it says, if I'm going to live a life of faith, I'm going to have to be okay risking failure. And that's kind of that living a purposeful life on purpose is right there. So I love your messages and I love your words and thank you for sharing them with us today. So just appreciate you, girl. And we will talk very soon, I'm sure. So guys, thank you for joining us on this podcast, and I hope that you enjoyed and heard Marnie's heart. Go over and check her out on all of her social medias. We will have that in our show notes, and just give her some love. Guys, thanks for listening to this podcast. It just means so much to me as we move forward and we create this podcast for you. And if you haven't hit subscribe yet, if you would hit subscribe, it's like giving me a little bit of a hug virtually, and I just love it. If you would give a review, that's like, girlfriends, you are my person. So if you could hit subscribe, give a review, guys, that would be just amazing. So until we talk again,